Lord, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my Redeemer. Amen. Well, this this gospel reading today really spoke to me because I had to do our chapel this morning. So I was in that position of what do you want to say to the kids and all. But so in the process of reading the gospel, I realized how relevant that this gospel is for today. For us to hear because of what's going on in our country. You know, because trying to find the spot where I should have marked it. It says that when he came home and the crowd gathered around him to such an extent they couldn't even eat a meal, that's a pretty good crowd. It says that when his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him. For they were saying he has lost his senses. And then we know the scribes came down saying that he was demon-possessed. Now he was casting out demons by the king of the demons, Beelzebub. And he explains a kingdom divided against itself and all. Can't stand. And we get to the latter part. This first part and the last part is what I really want talk about a little bit. You know, today in our culture, what's going on is we've lost our minds. You know, and I've kidded that the first sign of the coronavirus is not that anybody has it or that they got sick. The very first thing about the coronavirus, when it enters an area and it's fixing to make somebody sick, is that everybody in that whole country loses common sense. You know, and that's what we have done. We have lost common sense. We've lost our senses so bad to the place that we're like these people, the people who knew Jesus, calling him crazy. And we have divided along lines of sheer craziness. As, you know, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, get a vaccine, don't get a vaccine, social distance, don't social distance. And then the politics of it all, that, you know, I can understand young people, you know, 20-year-old people getting caught, you know, being crazy in politics because they just haven't lived enough cycles to realize that in the world of politics, there's not a lot of difference between a Democrat and a Republican. It's only when you hit the far edges of the parties, the far left, the far right, that there's real major differences, really. But we've allowed everything to divide us to the place, and then the coronavirus itself has, not only has it divided us along lines of stuff that don't, you know, and opinions, but it's divided us along the lines of we don't socialize. You know, we've told that we have to stay home. You can't go out. Some states have mandates that you can't, you know, to stay home. And it has so divided us that now that a large numbers of Christians don't go to church. And there's, most of the time, there's no reason for them not to go to church. Now, there is some reasons. You know, and if a person is in a high risk category, that's a good reason not to go anywhere, including church, not risking. But we've so allowed this virus to divide us socially that more and more there's people that are feeling so isolated and so alone and suffering with depression. We know from the reports of the media that mental health issues have skyrocketed. Suicides have skyrocketed. And that's because of this social division that we've allowed to happen. And it's calling each other senseless because you're not doing it my way. And so that makes you senseless. And that's what Jesus' own people, the people he grew up with in his hometown, you know, like, you have to remember, these towns, other than like Jerusalem, were little bitty small places. And if you've ever gone to a third world country where they have small towns, you understand it. When it's a small town, it's a small town. Very few people. So everybody knows everybody. And having had associated with one another growing up. And that's the state our country's in, this same place of being so divided. We was talking the other night, some of us, about how are non-Christians dealing with this? You know? And they're not. They're the ones whose suicide rates have went up. You know, they're the ones who are having the biggest mental health issues and stuff because they don't have a hope. They don't get it. But we as Christians have also lost a little perspective here. You know, and that perspective is, who is your mother and your brother? Who? See, that's one of those things I say you need to settle. There's things in life to me as a Christian that I've had to settle in my life because it's the way the Lord has led me to, in my Christian walk. Is by bump up against something, I need to settle this issue in my heart. Who is my mother? And who is my brother? And Jesus tells us who. You know? For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And we need to remember that our Christian friends, Christians everywhere, those are our real relatives now. You know, we're not a people of this earth. We're a people of heaven. And we may not have our mothers or brothers in heaven if they have chosen to not accept Christ, our physical blood, but we will have thousands of others. Because now we have a different bloodline also. It's been totally changed, totally transformed. Our kinship is in heaven. Our life is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Our family is the citizens of heaven. We are a body. We're not individuals running around doing as we please. We're part of what's called the body of Christ. Which means we should be in some kind of a unity. And of course that unity is simply love for one another. And all. So that's, word is just that simple, is that if you're struggling with loneliness, if you're struggling with that feeling of you're alone and you're out there by yourself because of all that's going on, because of the divide along political lines or social economic lines or medical theory lines or whatever, if those things have separated you to the place that you're like, I'm alone and nobody cares. Well, that is the lie of the enemy, of course. You're not alone, for Christ is always is with you. God Himself promised you that He would never leave you nor forsake you in any way. And so we can, if we change our, as Bishop says, if we change the way we look at it, quit looking from an earth perspective of, well, you know, me and Michael were really good friends, but he became a raving liberal out there in California, and so now me and Michael can't be really good friends no more. Which Michael's not a raving liberal, by the way. I still count him as a dear friend. But if we've allowed anything like that, and this season of discontent, this season of division, this season of anger over whatever the issues are, we need to remember that we have brothers and sisters. And see, that really works great for me because I was raised and my family was about as dysfunctional. You know, I think when you look up dysfunctional, it refers you to my family. For example and stuff. But there was always one thing that I was taught is that I had horrible family people. You know, I mean, some of them were criminals, some of them were just horrible human beings. But the one thing that I was taught is they were family. You know, and at the end of the day, they were family. And that didn't mean I had to like them. It just meant I had to treat them like family at the end of the day. And so that's what we need to remember, is that at the end of the day, we need to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ as what they really, truly are. And that is family. God help us to get that so deep into our hearts and minds and our spirits that we really do understand that on that level of no matter our disagreements or whatever, we're family. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like, if you want to know what family is, really how family should be at the end of the day, watch Blue Bloods. And it'll teach you, because at the end of every Blue Blood, at the end of it, they come together and they come from different places, all in the same world of being cops and lawyers, huge disagreements and everything, but they sit down at a table, they say grace, and they eat together, and they're family. That's the way we should be. We will gather at the table. And that's our unity. That's our family. That's who we are. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.